The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on the fourth Sunday after Easter, May 3rd, 2020, at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community in Rock Springs, Wyoming, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Keep listening following the broadcast of today's service for a recording of our communion service.
Thank you for joining us this morning by whatever medium you've come to receive this time and share this time with us as we worship the resurrected Christ on this first Sunday in May. May God's grace fill you. May God's Holy Spirit guide you. May God's love give you hope and strength for whatever you may face, whatever you may be going through. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we truly rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we thank you so much for your gifts, your graces that we find comforting, strengthening, and worthy of our worship and praise. Father, we come to do that today through many venues of media. Father, but whatever is done, may it be to honor you and to glorify you and to praise you. For truly this is the day that you have made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'll ask Garrett to come and lead us in our first hymn, Standing on the Promises. Take this time and go before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we come to you with bowed head and closed eye to honor you, to shut off some of the world that's around us that would distract us from being holy with you in your presence. For Father, that's where we find ourselves when we bow our heads and lift our hearts, is in the very throne room of the creating God. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our relationship and our personal relationship has been restored. And we come straight before your throne when we pray in the name of Jesus. And Father, we do bring our many needs and concerns, but we also bring our joys and our celebrations. Father, even as it isn't what we would consider the best, it is a means to share in this time together. We can look in the Zoom windows and see the other persons who are here with us. In the Facebook, we can see those others who are watching with us. And those in the parking lot can look out their car windows and see who else has joined them here. And those later who couldn't be for wherever and however, will be able to look on YouTube and recall and remember. Father, we still do want to thank you and praise you. Though it isn't ideal, we're reminded by the Apostle Paul to rejoice in you in all things. And Father, we do bring our needs, our concerns, our problems, our situations to you, knowing that in your love and grace you will touch them as your will give us strength that we would accept your will. And Father, we do indeed pray for the leaders of our nation, our communities. We pray for our families, our children, and our seniors. We pray for one another. And Father, we pray for those who are serving in whatever capacity. Father, we lift them up to you today. And truly, we do thank you that you hear our prayers. And we would ask now that you would hear us as we pray the prayer you taught us through your disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
A reading from the Old Testament. This is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God for the people of God.
The 23rd Psalm. It is very likely, I would contend, the most read, printed, shared, heard, familiar passage of Scripture in the world today. I remember hearing it the very first time when I was a little kid on a show called Bonanza. I don't know if anybody out there in the multimedia world remembers Bonanza, but this is the old days of Dan Blocker and Little Joe and all of those guys. And I remember that Lauren Green, who played Dad, and he had this Indian friend of his, and I don't mean anything socially disrespectful for this phrase, but he had this, he called him his Indian friend, and he was dying. He had been into a close call, and he told Lauren Green, he said, Mr. Cartwright, I'd like to hear about those green grasses. Those green fields. And on national television, Lauren Green recited the 23rd Psalm. And as a young person in that part of my life, it stuck. Since that day, many, many, many times I have heard this scripture. Many, many times I have read this scripture. Many times I have shared this at funerals. I have shared this at weddings. I shared this at the funeral of my father and my mother. I have shared this text in so many different ways. I find it comforting and strengthening. And I believe that as David put pen to paper and wrote this psalm, he had some things in mind. Maybe he too was looking back on his childhood, for as a very young man tending sheep in his father's field, the prophet Samuel came to the home of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel, and not finding this king to be anointed among the first sons that Jesse showed him, he asked Jesse if he had another son, and Jesse reluctantly told him, yes, there's another one. He's out in the field tending the sheep. And Samuel said, bring him. And this shepherd of a flock was anointed by Samuel to become the next king of Israel. And it would be of David's kingdom that God would say there would be no end, for David was the anointed of God. God chose David. God knew David present, and he knew David yet to come. But God chose David because of what he could see that wasn't visible to others. David didn't look like a king. He didn't look like anything impressive. As a matter of fact, we remember David going to go slay the lion and to go slay Goliath. And we remember when Saul wanted to put his armor on him, it wouldn't fit. It fell to the ground. He was so small. He seemed as a child before that giant. David had been through much when he wrote this psalm. By this time, his son had died. David was encamped so often by his enemies, people around him, in his own family sought to destroy him and to topple his kingdom. David knew the pain and the sorrow of being hurt in so many ways, as I suspect we do too today. And this psalm for today's reading from the lectionary for Communion Sunday is so fitting, especially in the days in which we live. And this sermon is entitled Living Life. And that's what David had come to be able to do, was to, despite wherever he found himself and in whatever situation he found himself, whether he was doing well or whether he had misstepped, such as with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite or other instances, David was far from perfect, and I, for one, am so grateful that the Bible doesn't hide the times he stumbled any more than the times that he chose well. David writes the first line of this psalm as a statement. He doesn't say, "The Lord I wish was my shepherd. I think the Lord could be my shepherd. At some day the Lord will be my shepherd." No. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and since he is my shepherd, I shall not want." Christians, my friends, brothers and sisters, we can learn a lot from those last four words of verse 1, to learn to be content in what we have, to be content in where we are. I've raised teenagers and got them in the house. I've got Trinity, a teenager, and I've got Nicholas, which is almost a teenager. He's a tweenager or a terrorager. You pick one of those, he's somewhere in that mix. And the one thing they always say, and I said it, and I bet if you'll be honest and think about it, you said it, "I'm bored." Have you ever said that? Yeah. Have you said that today yet? Trinity won't admit it. I think she has. How about you, honey? You know, you haven't said it yet. Nicholas? Yeah, you have? You need more to do. That's what it is. They're here with me, so I'm not talking out into space. So, you know, but I've said it too. And I got to warn you, when we get into that place, it's going to come up, coming up really quick. We need to not be too quick to find some way to break the boredom. David then moves on. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." God will provide. God will give me what I need. "I shall not want." And he moves into talking about that in the next verse. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." In other words, he causes David, the king of Israel, busy as he was, demands on his life as they were, to calm down, to take a time. Folks, we live in a time where we won't turn the TV off. We blow our head up with music or some kind of noise all the time. We are not comfortable in silence. We aren't comfortable when God calls us to be still. And hear again the words of the psalmist, "Be still and know I am God." There are times when we need to push the world outside, and God delights in giving us those times. And I would tell you, anytime you feel bored, maybe God has brought you to the green pastures, a place where you find nourishment in Him, where you find peace in Him, where you are able to share time with Him. And He says, He brings me and causes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Growing up in the mountains of western North Carolina, my favorite thing was the river, the Saito River that went down not far from our house. I loved that old river. It was cold. It didn't matter when you got in it. But I knew that if I went up to what we called the bend in the river above Alf Bowditch's big field, that I could go down in that corner and I would find that the sand had washed in and created a sandbar, and there was grass in there, and that water wasn't rushing by. That water backed up into that corner and it got really deep. It was about 12 or 14 feet deep in there. And all of a sudden the noise of a rushing river and the sound of a rushing river were hushed. And what was found was the still waters that were deep. The noise was different. You could feel the power of that river in that place. And that still water ran deep. And sitting on that little shoal of grass and sand and rocks, in the quietness of that river, I could find a peace that I seldom found any place else. The still waters remind us that God refreshes us with plenty. Not the rapid, rushing, washing, churning, noisy river, but of the depth. And the depth that reminds us that in the Word of God is depth. And a relationship with God is depth and a plenteous supply. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. David remembers the time that he had taken his sheep and led them to those very places. For the sheep needed still water. They were afraid and wouldn't drink from the rapid water and the noisy rivers. The shepherd would often have to clean out a place where the water could just stop and be still for the sheep to drink. But there was another reality David knew, and we should know as well. He could protect the sheep. He could bring them to the green grass. He could bring them to the still water. But they had to choose to eat and drink and be filled, rest, secure in God's provision. David knew that he had to feast on the very presence of God and repent to find the stillness of it. And that moves David to write down, "He restores my soul when I have done what I can. He brings to me and restills in me through His grace and through His mercy my soul, my soul." He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, not because I'm righteous, because you are righteous does God lead us, but because He is. For in His love, grace, and mercy, He leads each and every one of us. And He does this that He may draw others to Him, not to us. Sometimes we think it is all about us, and when we go there, the devil finds us easy prey. And David reminded himself often of this, for facing battle, wounded and scarred, he knew how temporary life was, how suddenly it could come to an end to anyone at any age. And in this day and age, we are reminded of this as well. And David writes, "Yes, I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I do not fear. I do not fear the evil that seeks to destroy me. I do not fear it." And the reason he doesn't fear it is God is with him. the great shepherd who is exemplified in Jesus, who would call himself the great shepherd, who has a rod and a staff. Yes, a shepherd carried two in ancient Israel and the ancient East. They carried the staff, which they used to herd the sheep, gently poking, prodding, moving. And it did have some formed in on it by which they could pull things, pull a sheep up, untangle the briars, pull things from the sheep's fur. There were those things, or the sheep's wool, I guess. There was that, but then there was a rod typically carried either through a belt on the back or a pack or something that was about 4 to 5 feet long, about 2 inches of heavy, hard wood. This one was used to repel animals, to beat off attackers, thievers, robbers, for the shepherd would fight for his sheep and lay down his life if necessary. And David knew that God was with him, guiding him with his staff, keeping him on the right path, and he strayed often. But he also knew that God was there with his rod to protect him. Folks, we need to claim the promise of God that as we live out our Christian faith, if God is for us, who can be against us? We need to live it out in boldness, to share the good news of the love, grace, and mercy of our God, the gentleness of our Savior. But at the same time, we must be willing to call things as they are, to remind people in love and grace that there are things that are not appropriate for our lives. They're not appropriate for our families. They're not appropriate for our communities. They're not appropriate in our nation. It's difficult and hard, but we must do it in love and out of love by God's will through God's grace. Not that we may boast of ourselves, but that we through our weakness may tell them this is what God would have us do and be. And then David goes on and says, God is preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Church, make no mistake, we have enemies in the world today. They want to stamp out our very belief system. They want to stamp out everything that we've come to stand for. They want to stamp out all of the traditions of the church. They want to crush it, mold it, and remake it. I still have a problem today when it's all right to go to Home Depot and hang out, when it's all right to go to the Walmart store and hang out, to go to CVS, and or not CVS here, but Walgreens, and to go to every place in town. I was in Ace Hardware the other day, and I've never seen so many people. I stood in line for about 15 minutes, I guess, waiting to buy a 79-cent thumb screw. It is remarkable, but we can't go to church. Here we are online. We've got people out in the parking lot. I'm amazed. Do not think for one moment, and I'm not saying it is, but there is a movement, and it's called Satan, the devil, Lucifer. They do want us to cease to exist. But guess what? God is on our side. That won't happen. Stand firm and walk firm in your faith, in your witness of love and grace. For God will provide even though the enemy is at the door. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And he remembers that God had called him, for you have anointed my head with oil. My cup, I am blessed beyond belief. Let us go back to that contentment thing. Complacency is an enemy of the Christian. And to stop realizing God is blessing us is the way to let the devil straight in. To start praying and saying and looking and claiming, oh, woe is me. And not looking to see how God has blessed you is the worst thing you can do. For the devil will come into the middle of that. He'll tell you what you should have, what you deserve. And you'll be singing the I, me song. And that's the wrong tune. You'll be looking around and thinking what you don't have ain't good enough. And you'll want a little more. And the devil will come in there and begin to draw you away from God. But God will say, be still and know I'm God. Look around. I have blessed you And David, in the midst of all the problems that he had, all the times of difficulty, and he had many, David knew that God had called him, and God calls us through his love and grace in Jesus Christ. He calls us despite our shortcomings and our imperfections, as he did David. And he will say to us, as he did to David, if our heart is truly toward him, then we too can know the anointing of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can know that our cup truly does overflow. And when all of this comes and life's shades of gray are turning darker, David writes that he would pray that two things would follow him: a legacy that maybe he could leave behind, but even more than that, a legacy that would take him forward into an eternity. Jesus writes in John 14, "In my Father's house are many dwellings." And David writes here, "Surely goodness and mercy." You see, David knew that it was God's mercy that would let him in. Not what he had done, but the mercy of God. We call it today the grace of Jesus Christ. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we get into the presence of God. And here, David will say, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Those are the attributes of God. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. May it be for us that we live life upon the words of this psalm, trusting in God, slowing down and taking the boredom to take a time to be with God, and to know God's provision in the still waters that run deep is sufficient for whatever we face. May God bless you with his promise of goodness and his promises of grace. Amen. We come to the table, not just as individuals, but as a community. By sharing the loaf and cup, Christ makes us one with him and one with each other. Just as we are nourished by the food we eat, Christ nourishes us spiritually at his table with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. This is the joyful feast of the Lord, for the elements we receive symbolize not just flesh and blood of the crucified Lord, but the life-giving flesh and blood of the risen and ascended Lord. As we come to the table as repentant sinners, Christ wants to assure us of his forgiveness, his blood and body. Christ wants to assure us of his living presence, even in our struggles. As we come with our doubts, Christ wants to touch us with the flesh and blood of reality of his life. So lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us his memorial of sacrifice until he comes again. At his supper, the Lord took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, and said, "Take, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes in victory. Lord, our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. And truly may this bread and cup become for us the body of Christ. And may we become the body of Christ in the world, redeemed by his blood. Amen. The body of Christ given for us, and the blood of Christ shed for us. Let us now receive together the body and the blood of Christ. Amen. As we have received the body and the blood of Christ, may we remember that it's a gift of grace, love, and mercy, the greatest love. Let us pray. Father, we receive today tangible signs of your love and your grace. We break the bread together in gratitude and remembrance. We lift the cup that is a symbol of forgiveness. And the body and the blood remind us that it is your great love that extends the boundaries of whatever the world may try to create. And we are one with you. Amen. And Garrett is going to lead us in our closing hymn, One Bread, One Body. God's grace and mercy go with you and keep you. May you know that wherever you are, whatever may be your situation, that God is with you, that he is the good shepherd. He comes to provide for you. He comes to protect you. He comes to cause you to lay down in times and trust in him. May you truly know that in God you have grace, mercy, and love through Jesus Christ. Go in peace, and may the peace and love of God go with you, bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to a worship service which was broadcast and recorded live with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on the fourth Sunday after Easter, May 3rd, 2020, at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community in Rock Springs, Wyoming, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.